today marks the 1 year anniversary of the formation of Artigono, the reconstituted or revitalized transitional government of national unity. Where are we right now with the peace process?
Well, in the assessment of the reconstituted Joint Monitoring Evaluation Commission, that's RJMEC, which is the official body mandated to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the ARACRIS, we can say that the pace has been very slow in the implementation indeed. There has been protracted delay and passing of time without progress. And we believe if this is not looked upon, it is likely to, it has potential to reverse the gains that have already been made so far. 1 year of the transition period has been completed now. When the Artigono was established, it was refueled as a milestone because it demonstrated that the implementation of the ARACRIS was proceeding. In those words, this was the proof that the peace agreement, despite delays and concerns about the political will, was in good health. There has just enough signs of progress for hope to remain.
Yeah. So you have mentioned about the protracted delay. Where is the delay coming from?
Well, I think one issue that probably I would like to say is that the last time I was here, I said that the people of South Sudan have played their part in encouraging the parties to reach this point. And it is for the benefit of the nation as a whole that all of us continue to work hard every day to achieve a dwelling peace in South Sudan. And I also mentioned that actually the President of the Republic of South Sudan has created an environment that is good enough for the implementation of this agreement. And also, I mentioned that the parties to the agreement and stakeholders need to be commended also for playing their crucial role in the implementation of the agreement. But I want to say that the RJMEC wants more on this. And this is no less than the people of South Sudan deserve. And it is for the parties in the agreement who signed it to ensure that they implement this agreement. And we as RJMEC assist to ensure that this is done.
And has Artigono lived up to its expectation in terms of implementing the agreement?
Well, maybe to respond to that question, I can probably just give you a short rundown of progress. Perhaps we can say that in Chapter 1, for example, we have seen some key areas that the agreement has been implemented. For example, you know that there has been the appointment of the governors now. You're aware that we have completed that. We've done the deputies. And these chapters, critically, were actually, I can say, two chapters, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, were the key chapters that the agreement was intended to underpin the stable future of South Sudan. And the success of these two chapters is critical. I can say two issues on this chapter that are important. First of all, the creating the structures of government in which the parties to the agreement share power and responsibility in a proportional and agreed manner. That is one. And the other point is in Chapter 2, whereby the creating a unified national armed forces and security forces of South Sudan, those are two major issues that I think are important. The implementation of the power and responsibility sharing and establishing structures of government in the 10 states has been very slow. And then you also remember that it's only about last month that the governor of Apanar was appointed.
Yeah.
There is still plenty of outstanding work to fill the position of these executives at the state level. And of course, in doing so, we have always emphasized that we need to look to see the 35% level of women representation being observed.
Yeah.
And this is something that is very important. We believe that the women in this country played a key role in the emancipation of this country. And they have a right to take their space in the positions of power, in leadership and decision making. And I know this country has got quite a number of and quite a lot of women who are qualified to undertake their positions.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we do understand, accordingly, I'm going to use a quote from the chairperson of the National Democratic Movement, Dr. Lama Kola Jawin, who is also a signatory to the Revitalized Peace Agreement. He says nothing so far has been done by the parties to the peace agreement. And he says there are more than 80 activities allocated to the transitional period and nothing has been implemented, and very few of them. And he says that lack of political will is the major factor here. Here's a monitor. What is your take on that?
First of all, I think you need to also understand that right from the onset, there has been some bit of activities. And as I said, the issue is that it's the slowness of it. I think you know right now, we can say there is 10 states that have been established, 10 governors are in office, 10 deputies are in office. We already are now talking about the establishment of the state government.
We have already seen Central Equatoria.
We have seen Equatoria has come up.
Yeah.
So ideally, there is some progress in Chapter 1. Chapter 2 has and some serious delays. Because Chapter 2, as you recall, we were supposed to have been able to establish the unification of forces quite early enough. But this is where we are finding a big challenge. And this is an area that we have been following up as RJMEC. We have been able to put our efforts in terms of what we can do. Recently, we actually conducted a seminar which we are trying to bring up the mechanisms that are responsible for the this particular security chapter. And we gave some, so we spoke to them and we had a seminar for one day, and we came up with some areas that they can address in order for them to move forward.
Okay.
And we have already presented that to the government.
As RJMEC, are you worried the body? Is the body tasked to monitor this agreement? Is RJMEC worried and concerned about the constant missing of deadlines by the parties? Is it going to affect the interim period or the overall interim period in one way or the other?
Well, yes, we have always insisted that we need to see work being done, and we have always raised this matter with the RTGNU. As you recall, our mandate is to ensure that we work with the government, which is already established, which is RTGNU. And you must know that RTGNU now is a government of revitalized government of national unity. So all the parties are represented. We have been talking to them in various capacities. We have a mandate to ensure that if there is a disagreement between parties, we either forward those issues to the IGAD. And if there are issues that we can be able to work on, we work on. One example is what I've just given you, that we were able to come up with some discussions regarding the way forward for Chapter 2 with the mechanisms. And we had a
What are the way forwards? Because this one will take us to the issue of the necessary unified forces have not graduated. The TNLA is yet to be reconstituted. And the state and local government have not been fully formed. And according to RJMEC, what are the major obstacles? Because if I go back again to what the chairperson of the National Democratic Movement said, how do you allow the executive to operate without an oversight for 1 year? Who will they account to?
Well, the delays that I have said, we are very much concerned about the delays ourselves. But I can tell you, and I'm not here to stand brief for the government.
Yeah,
there are challenges within the parties themselves, the intra-party problems. There are parties within parties that are not able to agree on certain issues. For example, you know, SOA is a conglomerate of parties.
Yeah,
PPO is a OPP is a conglomerate of parties, and these coalitions have problems of agreeing on nominations, and they create a lot of delays as a result of that. We at RJMEC, as you know, we are monitoring an evaluation institution. We cannot force them to push if they have disagreement, but you can only put them into the constant that there is a specific timeline that is here, and they need to act within the timeline. And this is what we have always been doing.
So, in a nutshell, in your own view as the interim chairperson, is it a disagreement within the parties to the agreement, the five political parties or the five parties to the agreement, is the one delaying the reconstitution of the TNLA and the graduation of the necessary unified forces? Because by now, they should have been graduated, unified, and deployed to major towns and cities across this country.
Well, as you may recall, we are very concerned ourselves in regard to the graduation of the forces. And recently, you remember, even I took IGAD diplomats and African Union diplomats and C5 diplomats to visit some of the training areas. We visited Marindi and Rajaf. And we went and we saw for ourselves the situation that is there in terms of the conditions that these forces are staying. And we realized that there's a serious logistical challenge. And what we have stated ourselves is that we would want the government to move quickly and graduate the first batch of phase one, because this, first of all, will create confidence. We will bring in confidence building going forward. And once these soldiers have graduated and they have left the institution,
yeah,
we would expect to see proper management going to phase two and phase three. And this is what we are saying now, that we would like to see this graduation go on. It will create confidence. It will bring some semblance of some implementation of chapter one going forward. And this is what we are always talking about. This is why I told you we have even gone further to actually have a seminar of the mechanisms that are responsible for this, so that we can help them as RJMEC, and we worked on this together with the CITSAM VM to be able to come up with what are the challenges that they are facing, how can we tackle them. And we came up with some specific issues that we have communicated to those who attended the seminar, and also we have communicated to the government to be able to see how then they can be able to implement those recommended appropriate corrective action as per our mandate.
Okay, yeah. And we are approaching the end of the interim period as stipulated in the agreement. Could you remind our listeners of the timeline? When did the interim period begin and when will it come to an end? Because there is a kind of confusion here. Do we begin counting the day the agreement was signed, and or do we begin counting from the day, from the 22nd of February 2020? That's for more clarification, to be specific.
Well, if you recall, the transition period started right now. We are in a transition period, and the pre-transition period, remember, was also given some extension,
yeah,
of about 8 months, and then it was given another extension,
another 100 days.
Yes, 100 days. And now we are in a transition period which started on 22nd of February last year.
So
today we are celebrating 1 year of the end of the transition period. The 1 year of the transition period is ending today, 1 year, which is the same as the Ratignu formation, because that is when it started. And this period is supposed to move on until the end of the elections, which is supposed to be 36 months. And we think that if you calculate that, you see probably that 6 months will be towards the end of around February 2023.
So that is when the interim, the 30 months or 36 months ends.
Yes.
So when did we begin counting? From April last year?
No. The transition period started as from February. If I may.
2020.
Transition period.
Yeah.
The pre-transition was before that.
Yeah, we understand.
When the government was formed is when pre-transition period started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we understand that the parties in the agreement have tabled a proposal for extension. Could you maybe confirm whether you have received such kind of proposal on your desk?
Well, for any issue of the extension of the period is actually for the parties to agree. We in RJMEC, we have no ability to extend any period of the agreement. It is the parties themselves who are responsible. If they feel that they want to extend, it is provided for under Chapter 8.4. It's very clear on the way forward on this. So if they are tabling for any kind of extension, it is provided for at 8.4 for whatever reasons, because they are the signatories. They are the ones who sign the document. There is provision for them.
If they use that provision and justify the reasons to why they feel this must be extended, would you support the idea as RJMEC? Will RJMEC forward it to your top officials?
We are working for monitoring and evaluating the ARACRIS.
Yeah.
And the government that is in place is responsible for the implementation of the agreement. If the government feels that there for certain reasons they need to extend the mandate, we cannot stop doing our work, because the provision 8.4 also tells us that whatever provision they bring, we have to consider them and take them to IGAD. It is within the mandate. We cannot say no, because that is our role to do as per the agreement.
Okay. If all goes well without any extension, when can we expect the election to be conducted?
Well, it is difficult for me to say when. It all depends on the implementation. Once the implementation is done and the requirement are completed, including even the constitution-making process is completed, and the enactments are done, and the parliament has reconstituted and has approved some of those legislation, it is that what progress is what will determine the election date. It is not for us to determine the election date.
Right. Yeah. You earlier on talked about the necessary unified forces. You have visited Meridi, and you have also gone to Rajav here, which is not far from where we are sitting right now. And we do understand that there was a process of the transitional security arrangement, in particular formation of army top commander or command, and the gradation of the necessary unified forces is yet to be achieved. Could you shed more light on the unification of the formation of the army top command? How far or where are we right now on that?
Well, what I know is that there has been a lot of work that the mechanisms that are responsible on the issue of the unification, that the JMCC, JTCC, and the SDSR, mm-hmm. they have been working on some of these things. We have been able to have several seminars with them also. We had a seminar that we ran with the UNMISS on the issue of the unification. We have also, as I have just told you, we made another seminar with them. And we also, as RJMEC, we have signed an MOU with UNITA.
Mm.
And recently we actually conducted a senior commander's seminar in Nairobi,
yeah.
Which was part of trying to bring up the senior command on the unification. And we are looking forward to even undertaking another course of that nature in the very near future as part of RJMEC's initiative within our mandate to help in the development of the capacity for the chapter 2.
So if people, the forces, some of the forces listening to right now in some of these training sites, if they listen to you now, and I'm sure the question in their mind is, why is the graduation delaying? What is the major reason here? Why are these forces not being graduated, deployed, unified, and all those processes? Why is it delaying?
I think you recall recently that there was a statement that was released by the leadership here regarding the implementation of this agreement, and including even the appointment of the TNA and so on and so forth. And also, you remember, also they came up with the statement that they're actually going to do graduation for those forces that are out there. I want to believe that the presidency insists on this matter despite this deadline that was given 15th of February, and it's my hope that they because they pronounce themselves without any probing, it is their responsibility to deliver on this without any delay. But I believe that the issue, perhaps this COVID lockdown has brought some challenges on this. And unfortunately, because this was supposed actually to be done, so with the rising issue of the COVID, I understand probably that is why they were unable to implement this document. But I am informed that they assist on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you have just talked about the letter that came out from the presidency confirming that at least the TNLA will be reconstituted before or on the 15th of February, just like what you have said. And up now, nothing has happened. There is no communication from the presidency. They are very quiet on that. What is JMEC doing to push forward this process to happen?
Well, you are right. Really, the presidency communicated the effect that 15th of April 2021, the TNLA will have been constituted. We had very high expectations even ourselves, and indeed we commended the RTGNU during our RJMEC plenary last plenary on 4th of February.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said, I want to believe that the president is seized on this matter, because they stated it. There was no probing about it. It was a statement was given from very senior level at the cabinet, at the presidency level. And I believe that they will be able to deliver on this because they know this is a matter that they declared, they pronounced themselves on it. And I want to state that the reconstitution of the TNLA is very critical, as it holds the key to the legislation of all other chapters, which will unlock all other matters so that we proceed without any further obstacles. However, I'm aware, of course, of the issue of the, as I mentioned to you, the intra-party dynamics,
yeah,
push and pull that are causing some of these delays. And again, also, as you recall, maybe in the absence of any meetings now that the COVID has there has
taken
been this,
over.
Yeah, so I think probably that probably is the reason why this has not happened.
Okay, and talking about the issue of the enactment of a constitutional amendment, including the they revised the security bills that cannot be passed because of the absence of these members of the RTNLA. These bills are needed before the NUF can be graduated and integrated into one army. Where does this leave us with the implementation of the entire process of the agreement?
Well, I think there are some things that can be done concurrently. There are some things that can be done earlier. The graduation of forces can be done because really these are just soldiers who just want to leave college after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
The issues that are of concern is the passing out of the legal frameworks that underpins the entire issue of how the whole spectrum of security will be like. And we have also been talking to the Minister of Defense, particularly the chair of SDSR, on the development of the required issues, particularly the SDSR is supposed to come up with what we call security policy framework, which is very critical on how the military will look like, the long-term strategic security assessment that you'll be able to show how they want to put up the entire defense spectrum and the posture of the military, and also the revised defense policy. These are the ones that are supposed to be developed by the ministry. And even as they are being developed, we believe by that time as they complete this, of course, TNLA will be in place. I don't think it is difficult to bring the TNLA in place. It's a question of the parties bringing their names to the NCSC, because they are supposed to be brought to NCSC. NCSC will do the due diligence, and then after that, they will forward the names to the president. It's important that it's the parties that are bringing names to NCSC.
Mm-hmm. We do understand that at least the former detainees they already submitted theirs a long time ago.
They have submitted. The IO submitted, but there were some issues that the NCSC did some due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
They returned the list again to them. And now they are waiting for the list to be brought again to NCSC.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to state is that it is NCSC that is given the names by the parties. Then NCSC, after due diligence, you forward the names to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's important.
For announcement.
Correct.
Yes, one of the major issues and concerns also, for example, is the issue of reforms in the economic sector, the issue of forming an ad hoc committee to review the judiciary, and also the issue of the parliament, like you have talked about it earlier on, and the more important, the issue of the constitution itself. Up to now, the peace agreement have not been incorporated into the transitional constitution, and we are still running the country on the basis of the current transitional constitution. What impact does this have on the entire process of the peace agreement?
I want to probably, if you look at chapter 4 on the issue of the economic issues. First of all, there has been some progress, and I want to commend the Minister for Finance.
Mm-hmm.
He has been able to come up with some strategies on the way forward in the ministry, and in fact, there has been some bit of work that has been done. There is now what you call the Oversight Committee, which has been established. It is being supported even by the IMF and the World Bank, and they are working on some issues regarding transparency and accountability. On the constitution issues, we have a progress that has also been done. And again, I also want to thank the Minister for Justice and Constitutional Affairs for his initiative to develop a roadmap on the implementation of Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 and the judicial reforms. More importantly, South Sudan's Council of Ministers has actually endorsed this roadmap for implementation of these chapters. And this is a welcome development, which should lead to the establishment of the Commission for Truth and Reconciliation and Healing, and also the Compensation and Reparation Authority, and of course the Hybrid Court of South Sudan, and the judicial reforms, which are critical in the overall reconstruction of the judicial system. We as RJMEC, we have also been able to work with the Max Planck Foundation, and we have had several seminars with them. Now we are actually going to conduct a workshop that is going to come up with the structures which are going to come up with the requirement for the baseline upon which they will lay down the draft for the what you can call terms of reference of the constitution making process And this, with the minister for just having given the roadmap, I think this is going to move faster than we expected, which I want to thank the minister for his initiative.
And the people of South Sudan clearly believe that there is a problem in terms of implementing this agreement. It's not being implemented up to the expectation of the people of South Sudan who are in need of peace today, not tomorrow. Now, as the interim chairperson of RGMEC, what practical steps can be taken right now to ensure that the agreement delivers its overarching objectives of laying a foundation for a united, peaceful, and prosperous South Sudan? The practical steps right now. We know there is a lot of politics.
Well, I think what you perhaps need to know is that we at RGMEC, we are actually a monitoring institution, and we know that this country is a sovereign state, and the role of the implementation of the agreement is purely on the RTGNU itself. RTGNU parties signed the agreement, and they agreed to be responsible to implement the
agreement. But if they fail, is there any platform in the agreement or somewhere where the monitors or the guarantors can come in and say, no, please, this is what you're supposed to do as a recommendation or advice?
Yes, we have been working with the agreement is very clear on the modalities. One, we are to, once there is issues that are not working out, it is very clear in the agreement that we, as RGMEC, we are responsible for actually giving out some advice. As I told you, we are mandated to be able to come up with what you call the recommended appropriate corrective action, which we give to RTGNU if we feel that their issues are not happening. Mm. We also tell, we inform IGAD, and IGAD also takes responsibility. And where IGAD, as the guarantors, they are responsible to ensure that they can actually even call a summit to discuss issues. But the bottom line is that the government, the RTGNU, they signed the agreement. They are responsible to ensure that they implement the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Because they agreed. They signed the agreement. So they have a responsibility over it. And this being a sovereign state, it is expected that they will agree among themselves to implement what they signed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in connection to that, one of the most frustrating phenomena in South Sudan's history of conflict has been a political will, which eventually affects the public confidence in leadership and the peace process. Really, what is being done to ensure that the parties comply and implement the agreement fully?
Well, I really understand the frustrations that people are going through. Indeed, we also feel it for them. The point is that we have long identified the problem of political will, as well as trust and deficit, and even this issue of the lack of funding. But compliance with the agreement is a matter of the parties who signed the agreement. And now, in the transition period, the RTGNU, as I mentioned, is a sovereign body in South Sudan, which drives forward the implementation of the peace agreement. And I want you to know that RTGNU comprises all the parties. And RGMEC is mandated to monitor and evaluate this process. And we can assist in resolving deadlocks when, if they occur. We also are mandated to recommend the appropriate corrective action. And I think I also gave you an example of this. Recently, when we were saw some challenges in Chapter 2, we organized a seminar, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And we when we do this kind of thing, we come up with recommendations that are appropriate corrective measures, which we normally share with RTGNU itself, and also we share with those who participate. In this particular seminar I'm talking about, we and all the mechanisms and all the parties, to all the guarantors and all the other partners. And the decision that we brought out on how we can go forward, we forwarded to the government.
Yeah.
So this is within our mandate. And now we expect them to see, look into those and see how they can implement this.
And what would you say to critics of RGMEC, who says RGMEC is playing too much diplomacy on the leaders of this country, in the name of sovereignty?
Well, one thing you need to understand is that RGMEC is not an implementing tool. RJ make is a monitoring and evaluation.
And you are supposed to report what is happening on the ground.
Correct.
If you report accurately, I'm sure there must be action taken based on your report because you are the eyes and ears of the guarantors or IGAD on the ground.
Let me tell you, we report very accurately. And I can tell you that even from where I sit, I have access to the leadership of this country. And at no one time I've been restricted to speak what we think we should speak. Remember also we stand on an impartial position because we are not in favor of anyone. We are impartial.
Mm-hmm.
And we have access to meet all the leadership. We have access to meet the regional leadership. We have access to meet the chair of IGAD, and we have done that. And where we have found that we need to write, we have written. For example, we have written to IGAD on various issues. We have written to IGAD on the issues of the governor of the Upper Nile.
Yeah.
We wrote to the IGAD about it. We also wrote about the communal issues. And therefore, we're not playing diplomacy. We are doing our work. But one thing you need to understand that we do not have an enforcement mandate. We have a monitoring and evaluation mandate. And we have ability to access, to be able to deliver to the spot, to the guarantors, and even to the partners, and also to the leadership of this country. Remember, this is not pre-transition.
Mm-hmm.
This is transition period, which means the government in office, we have to tell them, hey, this is what you need to do on this area. This is what you need to do. This is delayed. And this is what we do.
Okay.
But we cannot force them to do.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba, and right now our lines are open.
I'm Mariel Gabriel from Kwajok.
Okay, Mariel, go ahead from Kwajok.
It is like RJMEC is also failing like the EGAD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see their strategy of actually making sure the parties to the agreement are pressurized and making sure that the peace is implemented in letter and spirit. There are a lot of violations, and RJMEC is like enjoying the position. They are not caring of the life of those beneath. Mm-hmm. It is like they are sitting on their position. Thank you.
Okay. Mariel from Kwajok. Hello, Redimire. Hello.
Oh, hello, Simon Martin.
Yes, your name?
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, thank you. This is Maboralek from Rumbek.
Okay, go ahead from Rumbek.
Thank you. I recognize the presence of RJMEC in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has been a long time since the formation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement in 2020. So it is 1 year down now. And I don't know where the citizen, whom are we blaming? Are we going to blame our leaders, or are we going to blame the international community who are failing not to tell the two parties not to, to implement peace agreement? So you might have heard the reaction from my brother there in Kwajok. So whom are we blaming? Thank you so much.
Okay. Hello, Redimire. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
David Mugo from WOW.
Okay, David, go ahead.
I have a question between the two chapters, that is chapter 1 in good governance and chapter 2 security arrangement.
Okay.
If you can see in chapter 1, it's supposed to be implemented fully so that there is a government in the whole country. By now, the government is almost staying for a whole year until the community have a lot of problems. So what is the way forward that the government is supposed to do to implement very fast than the delay that they are doing now? This is number one.
Okay.
Number two, there is a problem of security arrangement, which is supposed to be done before the formation of the government. By now, I'm now in WOW, and there is a place called Masanabira where all the soldiers are there,
yeah,
especially for the organized forces. Many of them, they have left. So what kind of security arrangement is going to be implemented some time to come?
Okay.
They are not trained, they don't have food, they don't have treatment, and so on and so forth. So what kind of agreement are our people like doing?
Okay. Thank you so much, David Magok from WOW. Yes, let's begin right away with David Magok from WOW. That most of the forces in these training sites, he cited an example of Masnabira. We have also heard from our reporter in Western Equatoria that the training site in Meridi, all the forces have gone. So, if forces have left the training site, what's going to happen?
Well, I hear those gentlemen, and I understand their frustration. One thing is that, indeed, this graduation has taken too long. Mm. We also would like to mention that this is something that should have happened a long time ago. We also, as I mentioned earlier, we visited two stations with the African ambassadors, particularly from the IGAD, the C5, and even African Union ambassador, Professor Biswaro. And we saw for ourselves the situation in those camps. We came here, we discussed these issues with the presidency, we discussed with the NTC, and also we discussed with the powers here. And we actually, and this is a result of the seminar, I told you, the workshop that we worked out,
mm-hmm.
and we came up with specific issues that we addressed that we want those issues undertaken.
Maybe, are you at liberty to share with our listeners?
Well, some of them are important and perhaps important for the government. But basically, it's about the question of the management in terms of how NTC should conduct itself, in terms of how JDB should undertake its
work. Is there a problem with the NTC and the JDB, how they are conducting themselves?
No. It's in terms of meetings that they should be able to meet, and how they should be able to coordinate their issues of work. And also, when we look at the challenges that are there in terms of the capacity building, and I told you also we are also involved in this ourselves with the UNITA, and also the management of resources, and particularly resources that are donated and taken to those troops. Those are some of the issues that we raised.
So is it being mismanaged in another way?
No, it's not a part of mismanagement that we went, we did not find food there. So we asked questions.
Where is the food?
So these are the kind of things I'm talking about. Mm. So we want to know. Of course, the answers are that the food, sometimes there was no consideration, for example, for some of the families that came to the camps.
Mm.
Because those camps, normally when you look at the data, food is supplied for soldiers.
Yeah.
But then if food is supplied to their families and children,
there will be some kind of gap.
So some of the issues are peculiar to the situation. And so these are some of the things that we want discussing.
So this takes us to the second question. What is the way forward to implement this agreement with all these challenges?
One thing I want to insist on is that the implementation of this agreement is critical for the success and stability of this country. And the government, RTGNU, is responsible to ensure this is done. We have seen slow progress. What we are saying, we would like to see increased speed in the implementation, and particularly,
do you tell the parties to the agreement? Is their response?
Well, there are many issues that come about. First of all, the issue of finance is a major issue, which is there. That initially the focus was that there will be finance for this, but now there is less finance. They also bring the issue of challenge of the COVID. Like for example, now you can see we already going to lose another 1 month of this.
Yeah.
And this is not only in South Sudan. It's all over.
One of the questions coming from Kwajok. The failure, the strategies to pressurize the parties to the agreement to ensure that they really implement this agreement. And you are protecting your position. Some members of RGMEC or the bodies tasked to monitor, they're only here to protect their jobs.
Well,
that's for Marial.
Well, he is free to think freely because that's basically his right. But the point is that we want to see success ourselves as RGMEC. Our objective here is to see the success of this implementation. There's a lot of work that we do. That's some of the success you see is as a result of also the pressure that we put. And you must understand also there's a comes under which this is we are working in terms of the parties. Remember, these parties are coming from different directions and they are all having many other intra issues within themselves. So the progress is slow, I agree totally. But we need to move forward. We need to be able to see this implementation going forward. But we as RGMEC, again, we are monitors and evaluators. The pressure that must come from the people to their parties, because they are the ones who own these parties. Parties belong to the public.
Okay.
So it is for them to pressurize.
This takes us to the question from Mabol. Who should be blamed for the failure to implement this agreement? Is it RGMEC, IGAD, the parties, the people of South Sudan?
I don't want to say that we blame somebody for the failure. First of all, I don't think there is failure. What there is a slow there's slow implementation.
Mm.
But there is some progress, however slow. So that's different from failure. Secondly, also, it is the people of South Sudan should put pressure on their parties to implement the agreement. And that is where the buck stops. The buck stops on RTGNU implementing the government. RTGNU is the parties to the agreement. The parties belong to the people. People should also put pressure to their party leaders.
And once again, let me ask, would RGMEC consider extending the transitional period?
I told you earlier on that RGMEC is not responsible for extension.
Mm.
RGMEC is working within the framework of the agreement. Remember, RGMEC is actually mandated under Chapter 7 of the agreement, and it works within the mandate that is there. The issues of the extension are purely on the parties.
Mm. In 30 seconds, what is the way forward from here right now? Because the way the agreement is being implemented is too slow, like you alluded to in the beginning of your statement. What should be done now to speed up?
We want to see the reconstitution of the Transition National Legislative Assembly in order to legislate and enact the bills that are already that were been forwarded to them through the NCSC. And these bills will facilitate the entire process of the legal framework that will help in the unification of forces and other things. We want to see the unification of forces that shouldn't be hastened, so that the graduation of phase one can be completed, then you go to phase two and phase three. We want to see the SDSR working to come up with what I mentioned earlier, the issues of the security policy framework. We want to see it. We want to see long-term strategic security assessment done. We want to see revised defense policy so that we can begin to see how the whole structure of the defense forces and the security forces will look like within the spectrum of the security sector reforms. And we also want to see the constitution-making process going on, and we believe this is an area that at least has begun to see some movement. Issues of the humanitarian affairs, we want to see them, because humanitarian affairs affect the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai, for coming and explaining. We shall have more time to talk more about the agreement some other time. Thank you very much.